John Rowe.
Next time.
Hang on.
So give us the Cheryl report.
Cheryl's doing much better than we expected. She's glad she had the operation. She had a number one kind of thing. She had a different kind of thing. Better. They gave her the superpower pain medicine right after the operation, so, you know, she doesn't.
She's goofy.
This is the greatest recovery she's ever had, you know, because she didn't feel anything or have any problems.
She had Crohn's disease for most of her life, and it created serious complications in the lower intestine. So anyway, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
Anybody have any response to our day on the Antichrist yesterday?
The Omen made a lot of money yesterday.
Oh, God. I knew somebody was going to mention that, but I thought it would be Harry.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I don't know. He's talking
about
the movie.
Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3.
Could you hand me a Bible?
I'll tell you one thing I thought about yesterday's, this morning. I find it laughable that God in his wisdom puts the mystery just right in front of your eyes and you can't see it. It's just hilarious to me. People go out far-reaching exploits to discover who the Antichrist is and this, that, and the other, but that's how God does things.
Yeah, yesterday, in honor of the 666, there were all kinds of stuff on the internet people sent me about. These new, the new identities of the Antichrist, you know, different, whole range of different. And every one of these people had said somebody else was the Antichrist, and then now they change it again. But it's partly the language problem, because we think anti in English means against, and so we but the idea of it being a transliteration instead of translation, and that's it is the instead of Christ. Well, it becomes obvious. It's you. And I, especially you. Yeah, that was one of them. And then this other guy, this French guy. Another one was King Abdullah, the reigning monarch in Jordan. And I mean, it's just goofy. All right, Ecclesiastes 3. We're on verse 15. That which hath been is now. That which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, all of the ancient Bible scholars, Christians and Jews alike, said this one thing that's fascinating. They said that in the everything that will happen in the age of Messiah has happened to the fathers of the faith. And so everything in the reason that Genesis is Torah, it's the only thing that anybody ever considered scripture back, you know, at the time of Christ and the disciples, the reason that Genesis was Torah is because it is what will, it shows all the possibilities of things that might happen in the age of Messiah, and that individually in numerous cases happened to people in Genesis. And remember, the only reason that the prophets exist, or the prophets and the writings, is because of Israel's rebellion. The only reason that time exists is because of our rebellion. So that's why we have to always look at life from the standpoint of eternity, from the standpoint of if it changes with time, it can't be truth. That's the great lesson of Abraham. And so this whole process of what goes on within you must be in agreement with that process. I mean, it's like you can't give importance to anything that changes with time, because that's what the Bible says is corruptible. And you can't take the name of the Lord in vain, because if you put the Lord's name on something that's corruptible, then it says the Lord will not hold you guiltless. So, that's why there can be no such thing. The temple was there because it was a parable of the mystery of Messiah. The offerings were a parable of the work of Messiah. But Israel is a parable of the people of Messiah, or the bride. And now we have no more excuse. Everything that happened to them, Paul said, happened for our edification, so we might see. Well, but we take little slices of it. The whole part of all, throughout history, Pharisees, including the ones today, take a little slice of the law that they think they can keep, and then they condemn everybody else. But the scriptures are clear. The purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth. Not just the mouth. This is the easy mouth to shut up, because you can act like you're nuts. But the 70 mouths of your Sanhedrin, of your mind, that's what you have to shut up. And you shut them up by seeing their stupidity, their futility. That's why people get so mad at me, because I make fun of their little value systems. Oh, I'm just nursing my inner child. Anyway, so with that in mind, this is what the ancient said about that which hath been is now, that which is to be has already been. These are a few of the things. God decreed that celestial beings should be in heaven and terrestrial beings should be on earth. Moses reversed them. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord reversed them. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai. God decreed terrestrial creatures should eat and drink, and celestial beings should not. Abraham reversed them. And the angels did not eat when they had when Abraham fed them the Passover. And Moses did not eat or drink for 40 days when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, he could have not eaten or drank for 100 years, because if he's out of time, then that which the body needs in time, it doesn't need. You don't need food and drink out of time, because you're in the position of incorruptible. You got that? But the idea then is Moses here and Abraham. And Moses they reversed, they showed what the days of Messiah would be like. God decreed that the sea should remain sea and the dry land should remain dry land. Moses made the sea dry. Elisha made the sea dry. God declared that the heavens should praise him. Moses silenced them. It says, give ear, ye heavens, and I will speak. In other words, shut up while I talk. He decreed that the sun and the moon should praise him. If you believe what Joshua said, Joshua silenced them. Decreed summer should be summer and winter should be winter. Samuel turned summer into winter, and Elijah turned winter into summer. Decreed that the day should be day and the night should be night. Jacob arose and made the day into night. King James says that the sun was set, but the Hebrew says he made the sun to set before its time. It's like a king who wanted to tell his friends something in secret. So he said, extinguish the lamps and the lights so that I may converse with my friend in secret. But the biggie is, and we're just like everything else, we never see it. Jesus said, the night cometh. That's all right, just sit down. He don't get his seat if he's this late. It says, Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work. And this, you've heard me talk about this 100 times. And so there's a sign up on the Prestonwood, or Park City's Baptist, and there's a big clock on the tower, and it says, the night cometh. It should say, the night came. Because the night that came when so no man could work was what happened when the sun set when Jesus died. And we've been in the night of that last day now for 2,000 years. And the long suffering of that is, we are to count as salvation. Martin Luther said that every one of our thoughts are the thorns being pounded into the crown of thorns of Christ. Every one of our ideas, every one of our little special things. Said that every time you think you have something to do, you pound the nail into Christ's hands. Every time you think you have somewhere to go, you pound the nails into Christ's feet. We can't even conceive of that. Because all we know is to go and to do and to create. We can't conceive that it's finished. But Peter predicted this. He said, all things, don't pay any attention to the scoffers who say, where's the evidence of his presence? For all things will continue as they were from the very beginning. In other words, there's never any evidence. If I believe and teach that all the prophecies and all the prophets were fulfilled, and that's what Jesus said, that's what John said at the time of Christ. So, what's there left? Except what the imaginations that you create, and a little stupidity, little deals, little campaigns that you create in your own mind. If you think any of them have merit, then you got to go and do them. You got to run the rabbit until you find out that all is vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But the point that this was the predicate for that, I know that whatsoever, in verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, God decreed that the days of man are 70. Is it possible for eternal life? That's why Enoch and Elijah were the only two men that have ever lived that never died. As I've told you so often, they are the two witnesses. They represent wisdom and prophecy. They are the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, and they are always standing. If you're in the New Jerusalem, you're with them. If you're not, you know, it's going to happen someday. But we constantly kill them. Right? Because we've got our better. We've got a better way. We've got a better. We got more sincerity. We got things to do. So we not only kill Christ, we crucify Enoch and Elijah. Is it possible that God will revive the dead? Well, we know that it was done with Christ, but he has done so through Elijah, Elisha, and Ezekiel. Will he make kings bow down before you? He's done it with Daniel. Will he open the eyes of the blind? He did it with Elisha. So everything that's why Jesus, you got to hear this. All these people that are talking about, oh, Israel is a promised land, we got to support the Jews, and Jesus is going to come back and set up his kingdom and build his temple. That's a comic book. Why do you think that so much of Luke and Matthew are about genealogy? Because if Jesus came back and stood on the earth and walked around and he's setting up his kingdom, as everybody today is teaching, there would be no way that he could prove he was Messiah, because the last records of any Jewish genealogy were lost jillions of years ago. So he would just do tricks. Can you see that? He couldn't prove. He would not have the capacity. If you listen to Hagee or any of these guys, oh, he's got this chart, and this is what's going to happen and in 3.5 years, and then this and blah, blah, blah. If he came and walked into this room, he would not be able to prove he was Messiah, and you wouldn't even know him anyway. So the Bible cannot justify in any way that Christ is going to physically return and walk the earth. It can't be done. Now, think of what that does to modern theology. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, when you say he's not going to return, you mean when he returns and time is finished.
Time is
finished. Scroll.
Right, scroll. That's what they... Isaiah is seeing it. I've got a picture in my office of the first black hole ever photographed by the Hubble telescope. And now they've found there's thousands, maybe millions of black holes. And they look like a scroll being rolled up. Isaiah saw it 700 years before Christ. Oh, we make our God so little, so localized. And walk in deception because it's all about me. You must know by now. You can't continue to fake it. You know that all things are vain, empty, futile. You continue to make up crap to give your life meaning. Oh, the Mavericks are winning. Oh, I'm happy. And they lose. Politics. Oh, isn't that a good one? That movie made me feel so good. Oh, that movie was bad. Oh, that's a nice song. Oh, I don't like that song. Our friend Darren, his motto was, all those women, so little time. It was my motto. Oh, and there's some of you, their motto is, oh, let me think of up some perfect woman in my mind so I can masturbate. You never have to wake up with her then, do you? That's what all those little stupid ideas are. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain or be fed up with fornication. Every time you go somewhere other than the Father for anything, including up to your little mountains of your little mind, for, oh, I can make this up and have pleasure in it and think about it, you're committing fornication. If you don't believe me, read Hosea. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain or be fed up with fornication. And if you're not fed up with it now, you're just an abject fool. Oh no, if I just learn this, then I'll be happy. Or if I just get this, then I'll have peace. Or if this problem is solved, then I'll be okay. No, you won't. right drugs, that'll get me through. If I could just go to the right Bible study, or right crusade, or right, if I could hear the right thing. No. If I could just learn that secret. No. It's already been revealed. If I could just get some more money. If I could just have more time. If I could just not be old. What are the infinite if only? Infinite what ifs. Oh, if Daddy hadn't beat me, then I wouldn't be so screwed up. Yeah, you would.
What do you do with all of this?
You do the same thing you do when you take a dump. You walk away from it. Unless you want to sit and play in it. That's what your mind is. It's worse than any dump you've ever taken. Oh, but you don't understand. Mind are gold plated. Oh, but I just couldn't help myself.
Shiny and sparkly.
Him up. Ronnie's have white picket fences around them.
Couldn't resist.
There's a whole other. Anyway, we're going to stay in this verse for a while, but I don't feel like talking anymore. And I'm sure you don't feel like listening anymore. You got any idea? Got any sweet thoughts, Mr. Buckner?
Yeah, after all that?
Sweet idea.
What? I mean, you got to hear this. Why did God have Ezekiel lie on his side, eat barley cakes mixed with loam dung, facing Jerusalem? And for how many? It was a jillion days, 66 months or something, whatever it was. He did it to show them what they're doing. They're eating their own dung, because their dung is these great ideas and the next great thing that's going to happen. And that's what gives you sustenance and satisfaction and you have peace. And then I'm gonna have peace. Oh, thank God it's Friday. What the hell does that mean?
Thank God it's Wednesday.
Thank God it's Sabbath every day. Thank God my warfare is over. Thank God I lost. Thank God I'm not a champion. Thank God I'm ugly, because it reduces the number of possibilities. Thank God I'm poor, because it reduces the options. Thank God I failed. Thank God I didn't fit in. God, mostly because he revealed his son in me and gave a meaningless life meaning. But it cost me my life. It wasn't worth saving in the first place. Oh, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Where in the hell did that come from?
Jeremiah 29:11. They always quote that.
The wonderful plan for your life is to die. The wonderful plan for your life is Jesus Christ. The wonderful plan is to reckon that whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Some people always criticize me because for me, everything in the Bible is an allegory. Well, yeah, it is. Everything from Genesis to Malachi is a prophecy and tropes and types and parables and analogies and allegories about the Messiah. The four Gospels are the fulfillment of that purpose of time and space. All the letters are the expression, or lack thereof, of that fulfillment in his people. And the book of Revelation is always true because it overshadows all of time. It's to show us a mystery. That it's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of one revelation, one story. And you're not in it. It's not a science book. It's not a history book. It's not a manufacturer's handbook. It's the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I have searched. I spent all those years trying to find my name in it, and my name isn't in it. Now, John, if your name is John or Pete, then you're in deep shit because your name is in it, and you can get really deceived. But Harry's name isn't in it.
Oh, yeah. That's why we call Pete the Dark Overlord.
That's a good, darn good thing we do, too. Oh, that's I
could. Yeah, you quit earlier.
I'm, shut up.
Quit hour 8, 9 o'clock. Wait a minute, we're over minutes now.
Anybody have any response, Mr. Darren? We didn't give you a chance to talk the other day, did we? I'll let you can talk without me making fun of you.
That's not true.
Hmm.
What? That's not true.
What? Partly about me making fun of him?
Right.
Oh. Well, I sounded good for a minute.
Only to the
what?
Nothing.
What? What did he say?
Only to someone foolish enough to believe that.
What?
That you won't make fun of him.
I wouldn't make fun of anybody.
That would be an
excuse me, I'm going to get my feet on the floor. It's getting deep.
Take it, large person.
Oh. Where's Kevin?
He's in Hawaii.
Oh, is he?
He and the boys and...